Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. If you're doing what I'm doing, then you're listening on the radio. If not, you could check them out and see what kind of hat Willard's wearing right now on YouTube.
Haka hat. I keep telling you.
I keep waiting.
Haka hat.
Waiting for my haka hat.
Don't worry. It ain't your half birthday. It ain't Christmas. I got you.
What about Hanukkah?
Hanukkah?
I'm Jewish.
No,
now.
You're not. No, you're not.
I'm Jewish.
No.
When you marry a Jew, you become not Jewish, but Jewish. There's a difference. There's a difference.
It's a very important pause.
You better be careful.
Pause. No, my daughter is Jewish, I'm being told.
Yes.
And
that's automatic.
Right.
Then again, that's according to Judaism.
Correct.
I become Jewish. Right. I hope this doesn't offend anyone because this is me. Like, my mom is Jewish. So when you're born, you're like, you're Jewish. And I'm like, but that's my dad. Like, why am I not allowed to follow that? Like, who died and made you the king of me?
Yeah, that's fair.
So, like, I'm considered Jewish. I also think that's rude to Judaism, because I did nothing to earn that. I never went to temple in my life. I had no bar mitzvah. I've celebrated Christmas every year, Hanukkah also. We celebrate everything. For years, I didn't even know why.
Kwanzaa, like, Diwali?
Well, no.
Okay.
But anyway, you get it.
I do.
Like, that's just an odd. I'm like, wait a minute. You can't just declare that half the family decides all of this.
Where do all roads on this show lead?
Judaism.
Kuminga.
Kuminga, yes.
Did Kuminga choose to be a Golden State Warrior? He didn't, Mark.
Well, actually,
he got drafted.
Oh, hold on. No, this time he did.
Well, initially, he got drafted. And I think about my own religious journey and John Feliciano joining us in 8 minutes. Mongo, I was baptized at 10 months old along with my three siblings. It was a four for one. I was baptized as an Episcopalian. I got the water put on me. I was 10 months old. I didn't have the ability to say, what the hell's going on around here? So I was baptized Episcopalian, and my daughter is Jewish. So therefore, I am now old enough to choose. I choose to be Jewish.
Okay. But when she gets old enough, she gets to choose if she doesn't want to be Jewish. And I know some people will be like, no, she doesn't.
Well,
but I see it as a, right? It's a religious faith.
I do too.
It's not an ethnicity.
I'm going to say this, though.
Or is it?
When it comes time for her bat mitzvah,
yeah,
y'all better get your checkbooks out now, because I'm coming.
Not going to be as big as the one you're going to write.
Dude.
Ooh, dog. I went to one of those recently.
I'll be getting, Social Security? Not quite. I'll be 67.
Better save up.
When she has the mitzvah. You
better sign another new contract.
Dude, seriously.
There's another one. Sign a new contract and be like, I get two.
Seriously.
I'll produce. I'll edit.
I'll do anything.
I'll do the overnights also. Anyway, John Feliciano in a few minutes. Hey, everybody wants to talk about the Niners offensive line, including offensive linemen. We had Mark Schlereth earlier, and Brian Baldinger was on the morning roast, as he often is. And this is what he said today about the Niners O-line play.
Yeah, I remember
doing a breakdown in the run game, and regardless of formation or motions or shifts, the 49ers basically ran five plays, and they always came back to that. There was a windback play at I formation. There's, you know, outside zone stretch. There's a power where the guard's pulling. Like, I don't know that they have a signature run right now that they can count on that's going to get them yards when they need yards, and or just a drive starter on first down where they're picking up six. I just don't see it. Now, losing Kittle, you lose a lot on the edge in all those plays, okay? But, you know, they haven't really established a run that they can really go to right now where, you know, you can really crease the defense. And so that – to me, that they're still struggling to find that. Now, you could say, okay, the offensive line, they've had to change at left guard. The center doesn't look great right now. McKivitz has had some trouble. Trent's not the same guy. You can say all that stuff, but those are going to be the five guys who are going to be out there week in, week out right now. There's guys that we saw, Barge at left guard. So I just think they got to get to where they've got back to their five basic runs that they can count on. And until they do that, I think they're going to struggle because the play action pass isn't going to be as strong without it.
I mean, that's all spot on in terms.
So good.
Yeah, it's very, very good breakdown. The issue is, and this is what we'll throw at Feliciano. I don't know. Is there a good answer? How do you fix this? I love it when people are like, just play better. Well, like, okay. And yes, at a fundamental level, there is some of that. Kyle Shanahan admitted this week that Dominic Pooney is struggling. And yes, he believes that the knee injury that he suffered preseason and aggravated in Seattle is, quote, making it harder for him. But at the same time, big boy pro sports, no time for that because everybody's dealing with something. He's like, look, he's played really well for us before, and I expect him to do it again. But he hasn't so far. All right, if Brendel is struggling, Pooney is struggling, Barch is out, Connor Colby is a rookie. Like, okay, go play better.
Go play better.
Oh, thanks, yeah. Coach. Okay, right. That's not going to happen.
Play better on three.
Yeah, that's not a fix.
It's not. And this is – I'm thinking about what Stink said earlier, Mark Schlereth, and he talked about – and I want to get this right. He said, your hands are an independent contractor and your feet are a part of the union. And so your hands, what you do with your hands, that's on you. Your feet have to be in concert with the other 8 feet in the offensive line. All 10 of your feet have to work together in concert. And if one guy messes up, then a run play doesn't work. And interesting about that comment from Baldy there about, you know, you've got five different runs that you go to. And right now, you don't have your go-to run. You can't really run up the middle. And I'm looking at my game log, and I'm looking at some of the film here, and McCaffrey, boom, it works. You go right up the middle, B-gap, and everybody seals their guy, and you get a guard to the second level, and you get 7 yards. And then the very next play, you try to run an outside zone toss play, and it gets blown up because the blockers can't even get off their initial play. So it's not even... can you do it consistently? Because they're not. I like what Baldy said about what's your go-to run right now? They don't have it. And part of that is no George Kittle. Because when you have Trent and George and Juice, you can, all right, you got Trent on the left and you start with George on the right. You bring George in motion to Trent's side and then you go left. You've got Juice in front of Christian. You've got Trent out there and you've got Kittle. I like our chances there, going outside zone with those three or four guys in front of Christian, but right now you don't really have that.
I'd say their go-to run is a pass play.
Well, for the most part, yeah.
That is. Their go-to run is to throw the ball to Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield.
It has been.
That is their go-to run. That's how they try to get 4 yards on first down or 6 yards on second down. That's how they try to set up third and manageable. They can't do it on the ground. Certainly not consistently, and usually not at all.
McCaffrey's long on Sunday was 11, and I'm just looking at this sequence where they're down 14-10. They get the ball back, McCaffrey for 7. McCaffrey loses 3. Now, all of a sudden, you go from second and short to third and medium,
yep.
And you pick it up with Marquez Valdes-Scantling in a nice pass, but to your point, it's like you're not able to just have a drive where you run it 7 or 8 or 9 times, and you start to just gash people. And offensive linemen prefer to run block than pass block. They prefer to go forward as opposed to backward.
You would think.
Yes.
I don't want to speak for them. We have one who's going to join us in a sec.
Yeah, and he'll corroborate what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Because, you know, he and I are cut from the same cloth.
Clearly.
Well, think about your life. Yeah. In your life, do you prefer to go forward or go backward?
Depends on what I'm doing. I'm leaving the driveway, I prefer to go backward.
Fair enough.
After that, yeah. I prefer to go forward.
In terms of like bigger, broader, gigantic things.
Yeah,
like
forward, of course.
Of course, let's go forward.
Yeah.
Move ahead.
We're talking about the Niners situation on 95.7 The Game, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. This is also the home of John Feliciano every Tuesday on Willard and Dibbs, and he joins us now live both on 95.7 The Game and the YouTube feed. So get on over there so you can see Mongo. Hey, John, what's going on today?
What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
We're doing all right. John joining us here on the River Islands guest line. Hey, before we play this for you, and I don't even know if you've heard it, it's on Richard Sherman's podcast, but what's your real review? Come on, John, your real review of how the 49ers offensive line is currently playing.
I just watched it again. I feel like the bigger problems are on the outside.
On the outside?
Kittle, we desperately need Kittle back.
Sure.
Gone are the days of Chris Conley. I mean, Juwan is still there, but he's not playing like he's, you know, capable. I'm guessing it's because of the broken ribs. BA is a great blocker. Debo is a great blocker. I think we're missing that right now.
And obviously, yes,
the offensive linemen need to play better.
Yeah, and also I think the Kittle part of it, John, I'm just looking at this play late in the second quarter where they try to run that outside toss and Tonjes gets moved about 8 yards back and Juice can't get out there and make a block, so McCaffrey has to cut it up inside. How much of the Kittle factor is kind of leading into what you're talking about in the outside zone?
I mean, it's huge. I mean, there was about four or five times where it's not just Tonjes, it's the other tight end and a couple times with the receivers. I mean, especially when you're running outside zone so often, those guys are so important to success of that offense. And I think the big thing is shining of what Kittle brings to this offense.
John Feliciano's with us. Okay, we got to play this for you. Need for you to react to this because Richard Sherman on the Richard Sherman podcast, I mean, it's no Not Our Fault podcast, but it is Richard Sherman's, and this is what he said about the current 49er O-line play, and we'd love to get your reaction. Here it is.
The interior offensive line was the issue late in the game, and I knew that would be the Achilles heel for this team, but it's not just on the passing plays, not just on from the pass protection standpoint. It's ridiculous on plays that are set up successfully. Plays that are set up successfully, you got guys in space. All you got to do is block your guy. Block your guy, get in the way, Christian McCaffrey, let him do his work. And you can't even do that. And that's where it's starting to become devastating to this offense because you can draw up the perfect play. But if you have guys that are incompetent, unable to get the job done, unable to block people, unable to block linebackers, then you can't run these plays. And you should be able to expect your center and your guards to be able to get out in space and get up on a, you know, Levante David is an incredible player, all pro bowl, you know, big time guy, been playing for a long time. I got a ton of respect for him, but you should be able to at least be able to get in his way. He shouldn't be able to shock shed and tackle Christian McCaffrey right where they were. And I think that's happened throughout the season on plays that are drawn up well. And we're looking at the center, get up on guys, and just whiff.
And there's more where he points directly at Jake Brendel and says, I don't want to blame one guy, but. What's your take on what he's saying here, John?
I'm guessing he's talking about that screenplay that Jake doesn't touch. I think it was Levante David.
Yep.
But that play is drawn up to go outside. So Jake's blocking it like it's like Christian's going to go on the outside. Christian goes inside because, you know, Christian's the man. He knows what, you know, he can make a play anywhere. Unfortunately, he didn't make the play there. So Jake's kind of sitting there with his pants on his ankles when thinking he's thinking, you know, the play is going outside and it cuts in. Pooney didn't play a great game. I think Pooney's that injury has really been messing with him. And like I've been saying over the last, you know, few weeks that, you know, Connor's doing, I think he played a better game this week than he has the previous two, but you know, he's a young guy that, you know, he's trying his best. I think hopefully Bartsch gets back soon, and I think that's going to help the offensive line a lot. And hopefully Pooney keeps getting healthier so he can get back to what he was doing last year.
Is that really the fix? Is, you know, you're hoping that Bartsch gets back and gets healthy? Because Mark and I were joking earlier, like, as a coach, you just say, all right, get better. All you guys just get better. Are there things schematically that the Niners can do to try to use as a workaround for these guys who maybe are either injured or just aren't quite playing well enough?
No, man, I just kind of just got to man up. One other point he was talking about is the sacks. We gave up six sacks. I think two of them were not on the offensive line. Tonjes was supposed to chip the guy when Colton gave up that sack. He doesn't chip him. And then, you know, Trent gave up a sack. So that's four. And then the other two were just, you know, we got our ass kicked on two. I watched it again. I watched it two or three times now. They're not playing as bad as everyone's saying, but I think it magnifies when you lose and you can't run the ball. There was a 2nd and 10 play when Tonjes catches a screen. It was late in the game, and he runs right to the linebacker. I don't know why he doesn't follow the blockers, but we get the 3rd and 1, and then we don't get the 3rd and 1. Then the 4th down play, Pooney jumps offside. So like, it's we were right there. Unfortunately, those little things happened, and we didn't win the game.
Vita Vea picked up Dominic Pooney, laid him down gently like a toddler, and then trampled over him. Is that the worst possible moment for an offensive guard?
Yeah, and people, my thing, I love the fans, and I love the love that I'm getting, and people are asking me to come back. But as soon as I saw that for Pooney, first thing I did was go to 2023. We were back. It was a 2-minute drive. We were backed up, and guess what happened? Vita Vea put me on my ass. The same thing. It just happened to be BA caught a big pass and ran for like 30 yards. But I sent it to Pooney as, hey, man, pimps go through this shit from time to time.
It's okay, no, John. No, John, we promise our YouTube audience that they're going to get a couple of those. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I thought I was allowed to say that one.
Nah, not
about
really.
That and
yeah, no, I mean, you can say the first word. Yeah, you pimp, can't go to sure. Yeah, you can't say the second word, John.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. We're learning.
I mean, Vita Vea's got to be 370. I'm like, you're no small potatoes, but that's a big man now.
Yeah, and he's still got it. I don't know what people were thinking, but Vita Vea is still elite.
Hey, John Feliciano with us as he is every Tuesday. Can we back up and get a comment on what this, I mean, you've been a teammate of his. What does it mean emotionally to this team to lose Fred Warner?
Oh, man, it's rough. You know, once when Bosa goes down, you kind of all the leadership of that defense all falls on Fred. And then when you lose him, it's like a gut punch. A great, great teammate, a great player, and a guy that, he just loves ball, and his enthusiasm is just bleeds onto the team, and that is a big loss.
And what's that like on even both sides of the field, obviously, because you, as an offensive player, you're not in the huddle with him, but just having a player of that stature go down, does it cast a pall over the entire game? And how do you as a player try to shake that off and still get out there and play three more quarters of football?
Yeah, I mean, you try not to think about it. But, like, you know, whenever you need to play, and, you know, the offense is on the sideline watching the defense, you're always like, where's 54? Because Fred's going to make that play for you. But now with him being gone, you look to D. Winters, who I think is going to be a phenomenal linebacker. I think he's going to keep going, and they're going to have a deadly combo with Fred and D for hopefully a long time. But yeah, it's going to be hard to replace Fred.
John Feliciano is with us. John, especially because of your affinity for the Bills and the fact that they played Atlanta last night, and that's the 49ers' mm-hmm. next opponent as well. Give us a little X's and O's breakdown on what you saw them do to Josh last night that is now waiting for the 49ers in 5 days.
Yeah, man, it's been a tough couple days for me, man. Just San Francisco losing. I thought Buffalo versus Atlanta was a shoe-in. But obviously it wasn't the case. That D-line kind of got after the Bills' O-line. And they did a great job of running the ball. So we gotta make sure, you know, D-line and linebackers need to make sure they don't run the ball and keep the ball away from the Niners.
Well, I mean, it's just Bijan Robinson, so no big deal, right?
It's kind of Christian's fault. Didn't they train together in the offseason? So, I mean, thanks a lot, Christian. Look, he got a lot better, and now you got to play him.
How much does coming off the bye really help a team like, well, any team really, but the Falcons go into that one last night coming off a bye, and they're at home? How big of a deal is that even this early in the season?
Yeah, you kind of hate having it this early, just because you would. I mean, a week like 10 by a week is kind of like the premium for me. But yeah, obviously the coaches do a lot of self scouting on bye weeks. So I'm guessing that the Falcons coaches really took a hard look at themselves, and they looked like an elite team last night. So hopefully they suck next week.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah, John, a quick pivot. We'll get back to 49ers, but did you deliver Ambien to your entire family? I've never heard your house so quiet. What's going on?
I put my foot down. I said, wife, get this in order.
Yeah! You know?
Yeah.
No, was there an actual conversation?
Yeah. And I said, hey, put these kids to bed earlier.
What time zone are you in right now?
Eastern.
Okay, so it's 8.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
8:11 in the evening?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, and everybody's been fed and bathed and they're already in bed?
Yeah, showered, bathed, yeah. They brushed their teeth. They're my wife's up there now keeping them quiet, making sure they go to bed.
Is she reading them the classic go the blank to sleep as a story?
No, I think she's choking them out.
Also, technique.
Well, that's better. Yeah, thank goodness for that. That makes everybody feel so much better.
A little guillotine.
A little, you know,
some jiu-jitsu stuff.
Yeah.
Not
Just
helping them out.
Mild threats, not like, you know, major ones. Okay. Nope. Perfect. All right. John Feliciano's with us. Okay. Hey, can we go bigger picture? And like, they're 4-2. All right. That's great. Mm-hmm. We can also see that, man, it was razor thin. There seemed to be losing stars every week. I know some guys are coming back, but like, I don't know, John, like how realistic are the long-term thoughts? And I mean that just this season for this team, considering everything that has happened.
I don't know, man. Obviously, with all the injuries, you kind of get scared and, you know, kind of want to just chalk the season up. But I mean, I think the Bucks are one of the best teams in the league. They're a play or two away from being undefeated right now. Every game goes down to the wire, and they know how to finish a game. With us, with all these injuries, somehow we keep pulling games off. I think that's a credit to the players that are playing and to the coaches. I don't know. I don't know if I'm just a homer or what, but I still see all their goals right in front of them. I think hopefully BA gets healthy here soon. Get him back in a few weeks. He'll be a giant help. I'm sure John and Kyle are going to look into some kind of trade or something during the trade deadline. So I'm actually excited to see what's going to happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah, like I wonder if you can put a name on some of those things. Like, if you want to be optimistic, I get it. There's a long way to go and a lot can still happen. But if you were to name specifically 3 or 4 things that need to happen for the rest of the season to go well, what would you say?
Health. We got to trade for a defensive piece, either linebacker or DN, and get some of our guys back, man. Those are the only thing. I think once we get Barch and BA and Ricky, all our guys back, I think we'll be all right.
In the locker room, is this something that players openly talk about? Like, you've lost Bosa, you lost Fred Warner. Do you talk amongst yourselves about how you want to add a piece, or is that just something that now you're a media star, you think more about?
No, yeah, it's definitely now that I'm a media star. When you're in the locker room, you try to be like, oh, yeah, we're good. We got everyone we need in this locker room. But obviously it helps when we got Randy Gregory my 2023 year. I thought that was a big get. I thought he played well for us. But it's always nice. It's, you know, you hear, I mean, Randy has he had a pretty big name at the time of a pass rusher kind of guy. So like, if you get a guy with like a big name or just someone that is respected around the league, that always helps with morale.
Hey, John, as an offensive lineman, and I know you didn't get to play with Mac Jones, you've played with Brock Purdy, but how different of a job is that, blocking for those two guys, because Brock is so much more mobile?
Yeah. Brock will definitely help you out in if you get beat or things are not looking so good. You know that he could kind of weasel his way out of there. With Mac, the positive is you always know where Mac's going to be because he's going to be in the pocket. I mean, I think he's been playing well. Obviously, he kind of, you know, went – he had a bad pick in the first or second series. But besides that, I thought he's been playing well.
Hey, John, I was wondering about offensive linemen and slumps. I know Dominic Pooney is injured, but I can't get beyond the mental part of it where, you know, he false started on that 4th-and-1. To me, that wasn't injury-based. As an offensive lineman, can you go through a slump?
Oh, yeah, 100%. And I think he's definitely going through that right now. So it's the seltzer water, dude. Came out of nowhere.
Let it ride.
I'm drinking the sparkles right now, too, man. The same thing happens, John. So, yeah, belch away, dude. It's all good.
Yeah, I think Pooney's definitely going through a slump. It's very mental. Obviously physical as well with the injury. But he is when you get in those slumps, man, you're trying to dig your way out so bad and you want to get out so bad that you actually go deeper in. So, you know, if they need someone to come out there and get in his head and help him out, this, you know, vet minimum is not that expensive.
Okay.
Hey, yeah, now, there it is.
John, what do you see as your role right now? Is it just are you in contact with any of the guys?
Yeah. I mean, not front office wise. Right. A lot of the players I still talk to.
Okay. Like, do you have any conversations with these guys over the last week?
Yeah. I mean, Bosa, McCaffrey, I mean, all the O linemen. They're my guys, man. I'm always sending them inappropriate videos on Instagram.
Okay.
And, me and Pooney talked a little bit, especially after the Vita Vea thing, just, you know, cause I know how he feels. He's down right now, and man, like, he has what, 12 more games to play or whatever it is. Like, yep. Buddy, you got plenty of time to turn this season around. No one's even going to remember the first 6 weeks.
Yeah. What'd you say to him?
Exactly I sent him a video of me getting ran over by Vita Vea, and I just said, you know, pimps go through this kind of stuff, yeah. Man, it's all right.
I'm gonna have to Google that here, John. I'm gonna have to see that for my own bemusement, just, you know, because Vita Vea is a monster.
I'll send you guys right now. It's it didn't feel good. I'll tell you that, right? It was you know, he tricked me, and it's my fault for even falling for it, because he's not going outside. Like, he's quick for his size, but he's not going to beat you outside. So he kind of made like a, oh wait, I think I sent the freaking wrong thing.
Who'd you send it to, John? Did you just send it to Christian McCaffrey?
Vito's acting like he was going outside, and I fell for it, and then he just went straight down my neck and blew me up. But like I said, we got the ball out, and it was a big play, so no one remembers that, but it happened. It definitely happened. Here, I got it now. I sent it to the sorry, I forgot his name. The guy that always texts me the freaking link. My guy.
Is that Lucas? You sent it to Lucas?
Lucas.
All right.
Lucas.
Well, Lucas,
pull it up.
Lucas isn't even here today. So now we're like, now Lucas,
what are you doing?
I know.
Fired.
Days fire off on a Tuesday. What are we doing? What are we doing?
I'm here once a week, Luke. I'm here once a week, Lucas. Send it over.
Yeah. All right. We'll get it from him. And we need, like, we'll go through Luke. You need to be able to send it directly to us, John.
Yeah, that's my bad.
All right,
man.
put your number. I mean, that's Lucas. Put your number in the YouTube chat right now, and then we'll text you. All right, so I'll take that as a no. Oh man,
I'll send it to Dibs. Hey Dibs, I sent it to you on Twitter.
I appreciate that.
There you go.
I'll share.
There
we
go. We'll DM some numbers.
I'm always bugging Mongo in the Twitter DMs just to try to make sure he's agitated for the segment. Gotta keep you on edge, Mongo.
Hey, your boy Lawrence played great last week, huh?
Not so sparkly. No, I mean, he's a work in progress. It's a week to week league now, John. We're taking it one game at a time, right? Yeah. All right. At least my guy's able to get out there and answer the bell every week. Yeah.
All right. He missed half the year last year.
Well,
hey, John.
Boom.
Boom. Hey, Sunday night football. Give me from a player's perspective, because I know you guys, it's still like that, right? That primetime thing, the lights are on. How do you, like, I don't know, what's, is the preparation different? Is the thought process different when Sunday night football is coming to your building?
Man, it's Sunday, Monday are the best times to play. Sunday night football, Monday night football. It's a different feeling. You have all the extra trucks there, the camera trucks. Sunday's way better because you get to kind of watch all the other games. especially the 1 o'clock games. By the time the other games are on, you're kind of on the way to the stadium. But Monday kind of sucks as you're just sitting around all day.
Yep.
And you also lose time on the next week. So Sunday night football is kind of the best, especially if you're at home. Nothing beats Sunday night football.
Yeah, does that, people always say that, and I don't think fans really give it a lot of credence, but like that short week thing, like, does that help the 49ers this week that the Falcons are on the short week?
That's a hope. I hope they don't feel good. I hope they're injured and they got to limp onto the field on Sunday night.
All right, man, go read Goodnight Moon to your kids.
Yeah, I don't do much of the reading.
Okay. Me neither. Me neither, John. All right, buddy, we'll talk to you next week.
All right.
There he goes. John Feliciano on YouTube and on 95.7 The Game, which are two different experiences.
Yes,
by the way,
it is continuing to be maybe my favorite segment of the week. I love the Cosell. Stink was great today. We have so much fun doing so many things, but not only do you never know what he's going to say, but also when he just straight breaks it down, incredible. And he was talking about the Tonja screen, and I have it in my notes, and I didn't realize it until he described it. If Jake just takes that to the outside, that might be a 20, 25-yard play, which would have prevented the fourth and one, which led to the Pooney false start. There were so many micro moments in that game, and I'm not trying to, like, Tuesday afternoon quarterback it, but when he describes all these little things, and you think about, well, if Kittle was there, and Tonjes has been awesome, but if Kittle gets that screen, he probably knows to follow the blocks around the outside, and so all these little things, Mark, about who you have and who you should have. Like, you have Connor Colby, a rookie, and we're expecting him to be awesome. And he's a rookie. Seventh round rookie. And I don't know if Ben Bartsch is the bee's knees, but he's your starter. And so all these little things that he's pointing out, he's making great points.
Well, I shouldn't say this, but through the years, the more and more I watch and more I listen to the people who actually do it for a living, I realize that 99.9% of us, and yes, I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me, and I'm talking to all of you listening, and I know you think you're the 0.1%. We have no clue what we're watching when it comes to football. We have no clue what we're watching.
Especially when it comes to line play, right?
None. You have no idea what dudes were supposed to do and what led to XYZ. The whole thing is a concert. And if one person is out of place, someone else has to get pantsed. I mean, the best example, I think the easiest one for us, like, how many of you, as soon as Mac Jones, I think it was the third play of the game, he throws a pick, and how many of you, and I'll raise my hand, for crying out loud, Mac, what the hell was that? And then something that happens all the time, in this case, got explained to us. It doesn't usually happen, but we get a sideline reporter who goes, oh, by the way, they're down here talking about it, and Kendrick Bourne is apologizing to everybody because it was his fault. And that kind of led to questions in the press conference where Kyle Shanahan said the same thing. And you're never going to hear a quarterback go to the podium and be like, yeah, Kendrick went the wrong way, so I threw it to where I thought he was going because it's where he was supposed to go, but he didn't go, so it got picked off, and I ended up with my pants down. But that's what happened.
Yep.
And there are so many interceptions that are not quarterback's fault all the time. And there's so much going on down on the field. Whether they're playing through an injury that disallows this, somebody goes the wrong way, and it makes a receiver or a quarterback look ridiculous. So I tend to just kind of, as much as I can, because we all have a critical eye, and we're all emotionally evolved. But that's why, as much as possible, I try to get stupid and make nachos. That's it. That's what Sunday is.
Sure.
Because the idea of us being able to tell, and you want to know, again, this whittles down to, there's Mark supporting the front office again. We have no clue. We have no clue what we're watching. 99.9% of the time.
In real time, I agree with you. And when I rewatch it, you see things you didn't see the first time, and I take detailed notes. And even at that, I still don't fully know what's going on. And when he's describing the six sacks, and I'm now going through it again a third or fourth time, and he pointed one out the last drive when the Niners are down 11, and, you know, McKivitz gets beat. And he says, yeah, Jake was supposed to go out there and chip. He's supposed to chip the defensive end, and he didn't, and I'm watching it here. He misses the chip. He whiffs the chip.
Yep.
And it's like he sculled the chip in golf parlance, and because he didn't get the chip, now McKivitz can't get out fast enough, and so now McKivitz gets beat. And I do think that what you're saying is right, because we all look at the box score. They gave up six sacks. The O-line, you stunk. And so that's the straight line that we all make. And I do think it's true to an extent, but if you go through all six sacks, sometimes it's, oh, wow. Like there was one where Pooney just whiffed. He just missed the guy.
Right.
He blocked air. And okay, that's on you. But this one that Mungo was talking about, yeah, Tonjes is supposed to get a piece on his way out, gets no piece, and now it's on McKivitz. It's really not.
And sometimes a sack is on the quarterback.
Right.
I don't know how many of you set your alarm to watch the Jets play football in London on Sunday morning.
Oh, the wind can take, yeah.
Justin Fields just sat there with the ball.
Oh, my God.
He just sat there with the ball. And just like left, right, no, how, you, no, sack. And he's incredibly mobile. That was one of the most mysterious football games I've ever watched. And then, to make matters even worse, you watch the Jets play for 3.5 quarters, and you're like, this is some of the worst execution I've ever seen. I don't know what's leading to what. I just know that this looks awful. And then you look at the scoreboard and they're winning. And I'm like, I don't even know. I don't know how we got here. So like, what are the inner workings of a football team and what leads to the X's and O's that we see out there? All I know is we see about three things and there are about 103 going on. So I just try to take that into account. It doesn't mean that we can't like not like a play call or a draft pick or whatever. Like, I think that we can take the view from 10,000 feet and assess things. But for me, what I do as a fan, at least, is I like when there's a turnover, I don't just automatically be like, oh, you know, turnover. There's that stupid quarterback again. With a turnover, because there are so many things that can lead to a turnover. Even, by the way, if it is a sack in the pocket and a quarterback loses the football, and we'll go, oh, the ball security's got to be better. Oh, no, like you try to hang on to a ball when Vita Vea hits you. Like, that's difficult to do. So the whole thing is shared, that's all. And there's just a – now, John didn't run from this idea, though. The offensive line's not playing well. He didn't run from that. They're not playing well.
No, you can't run from it because they don't produce explosive plays on the ground, and the pass protection is inconsistent. And I think I had the highest grade when we did Grandy's grades because, you know, they were able to get some explosive plays in the pass game, but I think about the bread and butter of Kyle Shanahan and his offense, you've got to be able to run the ball. And, you know, you played that cut earlier from Baldy from this morning about they've got five different runs that they like to do. And I'm looking at my notes, and they ran that same toss to McCaffrey three or four times. And the one that I looked at earlier when they lost 3 yards, they run the toss, and Kendrick Bourne is the wide receiver. He's supposed to come in from the tight formation and block the linebacker, and he whiffed. He straight airballed the block, and that linebacker was able to burst through. So even though you had the tight end out there, you had the tackle out there, and they're trying to create that seal, so McCaffrey can get all the way out and around, well, Bourne didn't make his block. And so now McCaffrey's hit, and he loses three. So to your point about, you know, looking at it once and looking at it twice and thinking, oh, we're going to point the finger at this person? Oh, he lost 3 yards. Offensive line. But it's not always just that simple.
How many times, and I feel like we've seen this a lot recently, how many times have you seen a player look done, and then the next year, he doesn't look done anymore?
Debo.
Or we can go much broader on this. And you know, if you play fantasy football, you probably realize the ebb and flow of this. How y'all doing with Travis Etienne this year? He looks fantastic. He looked done last year.
Yep.
Everybody thought they were going to bench him. They were going to give the job to somebody named Tank Bigsby. And then as the year started, they traded Tank Bigsby. They're like, get off the team, and we're going to go bell cow Etienne. I know your guy, Bashal Tootin, he gets a little carry in there here and there. But Travis is playing really well. He was awful last year. So what happened? Did Travis just, was he born again?
Liam Cohen.
Or is it Liam Cohen?
Yep.
Or was he dealing with an injury that we didn't know about? Or. This is what's going on a football field year to year.
How about Rico Dowdle?
Rico Dowdle. What in the hell is that?
Right?
The Cowboys have not been able to run the ball for 3 years. This year they're doing much better, but they had that guy.
Yep.
And he never got, you know, yards. And then they let him go. He's played two games, and he's practically one of the NFL's leading rushers.
30 for a .183 last weekend. And the Cowboys have the worst defense in football, but he went 30 totes.
And he went for more the week before.
Right. It just, yeah, your point is well made. It's circumstance, it's coaching, it's surrounding, it's a lot of things. And that's why Mongo and I will continue to go back and forth about Trevor Lawrence, because Trevor didn't look good this weekend, but he's looked better this year because he has an actual head coach and a coordinator who I think has provided a more stable environment. And you mentioned Chicago. They got sacked 9 times by Denver. 9 times. They lost 13-11. And I've told you this before, but for the audience, one of my longtime friends and a former neighbors on that coaching staff. And,
with the Jets, yeah.
And I'm worried. I'm worried about.
Oh, well, don't be. It's too new. They're not going to fire him yet.
I mean, the way they're going about it.
I know, but
they're 0-6. And did you see the way they managed the end of the half?
Oh, I watched it.
I know you did.
It was the most confusing 2-minute drill I've ever watched. And that's not hyperbole. It was the most confusing. First of all, for those of you who weren't awake, this was great. There's a lot of ways to describe it because it was bad the whole time. But the key was at one point, I think it was 4th-and-1 or 4th-and-2, and they line up to punt the ball. They're in their own territory. Call it about the 35, 40-yard line.
Yep.
They're in their own territory. They line up to punt the ball. Everybody on both continents knew that it was a fake for multiple reasons. Like, what on earth are you doing? They sat there. They stick their starting running back, Breece Hall, into that up-back position. The Denver special teams coordinator is running up and down the sideline.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yelling fake, 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 and then they still don't quick snap it. They just stand there. The whole world knows it's a fake. It is. They convert, and then once they convert, they proceed to just run the clock out. Over the next two snaps, they just let the clock run down. Why would you fake a punt to then run the clock out? But even more so, I don't even know if that's what they meant to do. Because if you were watching the game and you could see the looks on people's faces, total confusion.
Right.
Everyone's staring at each other like, you? What are you doing? What are we? Are we supposed to? You want me here? That's how the whole thing looked as the clock went from basically 30 seconds to zero.
Yeah, they convert the fake. Then they run it for 5 yards. Fields gets sacked. They use a timeout. Okay, fine. It's going to be, you know, you got a 3rd down play coming up. Fields with a short pass for 6 yards and end of half.
And then stare at the clock as it runs down.
Right. Yeah. That, I mean, why I'm worried, because it's one thing to be 0-6, new coach, I get it, quarterback still figuring it out, fine, but the way they're going about it, and earlier in the year they had that blocked field goal for a touchdown, and the coach, is it Aaron Glenn,
Aaron Glenn, yeah.
He's running
up. They ran with him.
He's going bananas, yeah. Like, we just did the thing, and then they lost that game too. So I'm just worried. This 0-6 looks a little bit more Harry High School than... Like, and I'm thinking about Chip Kelly as a Niner coach, 2-14, and I'm thinking about some of the Urban Meyer experiences and some of the other situations we've seen that it looks like 0-6, fine, but the way it looks like they should be 0-13.
It does, but you're not going to fire someone after 6 games. You know what I mean?
I hope not.
Especially, like, I mean, Aaron Glenn was a great Jet. Like, there's a little bit of an emotional tie there between him and the organization, so I'm sure they'll do nice by him. But he very, very much looks in over his head. Like, when you watch the Jets play, you're like, are y'all ready for this? Do you know exactly what's going on here? He looks totally in over his head. So, the whole thing has got to work together, which is why over time, I think you can see when coaching staffs rise to the top. Like, and I'll give credit to a bunch, not just Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh. I think, by and large, you watch what McVay does. The Rams look buttoned up. You watch what LaFleur does. They look buttoned up. Obviously, Andy Reid. Normally, I'd say John Harbaugh. Weird week last week. I understand.
Weird
year. I get it. But
McDermott and Buffalo, they are always rock solid.
Yep, they're buttoned up. And you know, Peyton in Denver, very much buttoned up. Sometimes he does some weird stuff. I'll give Dan Campbell some credit because he had to replace two coordinators and they still look like a good football team.
Steichen and Indy, they have their ass together.
Looks good. Yeah. Sirianni, you won the Super Bowl, but sometimes I'm still not sure. But like those are the groups that have the ship running in the right direction. Pause. But like that's what works. Usually, none of them are all going to work all the time.
Of course.
And you're going to have bad years and you're going to have bad plays and bad games and everything. But over time, they have an operation that works and people know what they're supposed to be doing. And all of them have to be doing it at the same time or else turnovers and losses.
And I also think that if you have that stability and you have that structure, you can have a year like the Niners are having where you've had two catastrophic injuries to stars. You've had two or three other significant injuries to stars, and yet you're still 4-2. And I think that is, to me, a tip of the cap to the structure, also the players who are out there. But Shanahan's doing it with a backup quarterback who was a cast-off, basically, and a group of wide receivers who also were largely cast-offs. Kendrick Bourne and MVS and Sky
to a degree, DeMarcus Robinson too.
For sure, yeah. DeMarcus Robinson. Yeah. So you've got McCaffrey, you've got Trent Williams, and beyond that, you've got a cast-off quarterback and a bunch of receivers who most teams didn't want. And so, and Jake Tonjes, who was never allowed to catch a ball before this year.
That's correct.
And now he's TE1. So I do give a lot of the credit to Shanahan for being able to do what he's done with that.
All right, 888-957-9570. You want to weigh in on anything? We're still here for another 20 minutes or so. This Sunday kickoff show, Lo Neal, Evan Giddings live from Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale starting at 3. If you haven't been to Laughing Monk, you ought to go check it out. Great place to watch the games. The food is awesome, and they'll have all the games during the day on. As we get ready for Sunday Night Football, Beer Garden's going to be rocking with a DJ. The bartenders will be serving up Gold Bar whiskey specials. And if you're going to the game, you're going to want to get on that shuttle. You should sign up right now on our website because spots go fast. So go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com, and sign up for that free shuttle from Laughing Monk over to Levi's. This is Willard and Dibs.
My wife's up there now, keeping them quiet, making sure they go to bed.
Is she reading them the classic Go the Blank to Sleep as a story?
No, I think she's choking them out.
Now, back to
Will and Dibby
on 95.7 The Game.
I mean, if only it was, appropriate, then it wouldn't be so inappropriate.
Yeah, it wouldn't be so funny then either. It's only funny because it's not actually happening.
Because it's him. Yeah. Because it's,
right.
Because it's Mongo.
I don't read.
Yeah. Well, I don't. I mean, I read, like, you know, the internet.
Yeah.
I read your comments on Instagram.
Occasionally. Yep.
I read stories. I read sports writing.
Right. But your kids are old enough now to where you're not doing story time.
No. Correct. But I did that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the book reader. I was a book reader. But I'm not going to read one for me. A book?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Book, I think, 10 this year.
Book.
And it's because I've been taking BART a lot. Thank you, Grandy. And so when you're on BART, then as opposed to just sitting there on your phone, you got about a 30-minute BART ride. I've been reading. It's kind of fun, Mark. Getting into it a little bit.
Is it, though?
It is, actually.
You sure?
I got one chapter left in my current book, and I'm looking forward to the trip home so I can see how this thing ends.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I admire you.
It's new for me.
I do. Oh, is it?
It's not something that I've been doing for the majority of my adulthood.
Yeah, I just don't have the patience and the comprehension and the excitement for it.
Yeah.
I just don't. Sorry.
Well, you don't have to apologize.
I'm not going
to
be the smartest person in the room.
When you catch a good book and you read a good book, like I just read No Country for Old Men.
Oh.
Cormac McCarthy.
That was a great movie.
And the book is even better.
And people always say that. And I'm always like, that's not, I mean, I guess it's possible.
Yeah.
But like, no, it's not. Because it took you longer and there wasn't popcorn.
I read the book first, and so when I went to watch the movie, I knew it was going to happen. And normally when you do that, the movie's good, but...
I don't do much of the reading.
Yeah.
That movie is unbelievable, and they completely honored the book. So
okay.
When you're watching the movie, you're remembering the book, and you're going, oh my God, the Coen brothers, you guys nailed this.
I'm not big on the book is better, people.
It's not always better.
Well, but I'm just like, but that's for you. Don't make me feel less than me because I decided to do the hour and 48-minute thing with buttered popcorn and my feet up.
No,
yeah. I just like, oh, the book is better.
The movie is probably a 9.6 out of 10, and the book's probably a 9.7.
Oh.
So it's one of those where it's close.
Yeah, it's close. Hey, the Warriors play tonight.
The Golden State Warriors?
The Golden State Warriors.
You know how I knew that?
How?
Our buddy Cam is in the office this evening, and he's the one who runs the board for the Warrior Games.
He's also the one who, or was the latest, to take down my hard luck fantasy football team. Thanks, Cam. How about, try this. You go into Monday Night Football with those stupid little analytics that tell you it's 50-50. 50-50. And then I lost by 40. So figure that out.
Yeah, he must have had Bijan.
DeAndre Swift.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. And others.
Yeah, sure. I got motorboated by Spadonuts.
That sounds more fun than it actually is. Anyway, Warriors at Portland tonight. You'll hear the game on 95.7 The Game. Here are your start. Did you see it? Did you already see who the starters are?
No.
Take a guess. Who's starting?
I have no idea.
Come on, do it.
Steph.
Yep.
Pods.
Yep.
Draymond.
Nope.
Jimmy.
Nope.
TJD.
Nope. You got 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
One of your favorite guys is in the starting lineup.
Yep.
You really like him, Dibs.
You love him.
You like him.
Will Richard?
Yeah.
Will Richard is starting with Steph Curry.
You love Will Richard.
Brandon Pajemski. Al Horford.
I should have had that one.
And 6'7", y'all. 6'7", y'all. Yeah, Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, boy.
Jonathan Kuminga.
But
y'all wanted him to start.
Bay Area is Jonathan Kuminga.
He's starting tonight. How about that?
I mean, I was told that the head coach doesn't really care for young players.
No.
And he's starting a bunch of them.
Well, he actually said that apparently in the pregame presser.
He deserved it.
Yeah, he's like, I don't like him, but I'm going to start him. And that's actually why I'm starting him. I'd like to get him out of the game quickly so I don't have to look at him anymore. He said that's a direct quote from Steve Kerr about Jonathan Kuminga. Get him in the first quarter so I can get him out of here so I don't have to look at his face anymore on my basketball team.
Oh, yeah, thanks a lot.
Do you have the sound of that, Grandy? Could you play that? Steve Kerr, pregame.
I don't care.
No, he didn't.
I got my own complaint.
Hey, while we're on the Warriors, I wanted to mention this to everybody because yesterday Golden State celebrated the organization's 2024-25 Team Members of the Year at Splash at Thrive City. First of all, it gives us an opportunity to remind you that we'll be at Splash next week, next Tuesday. Watch Party Willard, y'all. Let's go. Lakers and Warriors in L.A. We can watch it together here. So we'll be at Splash. Come see us. The food is awesome. But this gives us a chance to mention some of the names that don't normally get the pub. You know, Steph, Jimmy, Draymond. And then there's all the people kind of behind the scenes. So the Team Members of the Year program recognizes with the Warriors employees who embody Golden State's organizational values year-round. So we wanted to congratulate the following team members. Sean Bell, Senior Director of Partnership Development. Natalie Estillo, Coordinator of People Operations. That might be one of my favorite job titles I've ever heard. I'm the Coordinator of People Operations.
Yeah, it's the new human resources. Yeah, that's,
is it?
Yeah.
Is that what that means?
I believe so, yeah.
Are you sure? I think maybe she's just handling the people.
Right. Or maybe she's doing operations on people.
I don't know. It's possible. Congrats to Caitlin Guzman, Manager of Marketing with the Santa Cruz Warriors. Darren Lee, Senior Manager, Ticket Operations. Brittany Lairdahl, Director of Construction and Development. And Ryan McGinley, the videographer. So congrats to all of those fine people from all of us here at 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, fantastic. It's great.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Yeah, and you know, you have such a big corporation to be able to highlight certain individuals. It's awesome.
Absolutely. And how many more preseason games till Tuesday?
Today and then Friday, and that's it.
And that's it.
Yep.
And then it's game time, y'all.
Yep.
Game time. Woo! I need that, too. I need more distractions from what's currently happening on Tuesday night, which right now is like Dodger victories.
Yeah, on the regular.
Stupid Dodger victories.
It's
Blake Snell. What are we doing?
And Yamamoto on the mound now. And just when the Brewers get that neat little early lead, you look up again, post-segment, oh, Dodgers are in front again. Yeah.
2-1 in the third. Are they going to, this is going to happen again?
Yes, it's going to happen again.
Why?
Because they have the most talent.
They don't have a bullpen.
You don't need a bullpen.
Yes, you do.
Don't they have that that one guy who used to be a starter and now he's just incredible in the bullpen?
Roki Sasaki, yes, they
right,
do.
Right, so that's your closer.
That helped. That helped.
Well, he struggled last night.
He did.
And you've got a fresh and rested Blake Snell, who apparently they don't require him to pitch until August or September.
What'd you guys think of Dave Roberts pulling him, not letting him go in the ninth? He faced the minimum through eight innings.
What was
one base runner allowed, and he picked the dude off.
What was the pitch count?
Like right around 100 through eight.
Okay, well, there you go. I mean, Blake Snell he's been injured this year, and that's how baseball is now. You got a number, when you hit the number, that's it. It was probably 100. That's probably, that's the deal.
Isn't the postseason different, though?
Apparently not.
Yeah, not anymore.
Apparently not. I mean, you got teams
with their bullpen problems.
I know. I got
almost
you.
Almost cost him.
Almost. It's too bad it didn't. That was a bummer. What are you about to do, Grandy?
We're going to hear Brian Baldinger coming up next. He was on with the Joes on the morning show.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we got Warriors basketball in an hour at 7.
Okay. Fat Tuesday, man. Baldinger, John Feliciano, Mark Schlereth.
Yeah.
All of them were on the on the station today.
She's choking him out.
Yeah, exactly. So YouTube, Odyssey app, you can check out all of those interviews. Tomorrow's Cosell Day, so you've got work to do.
Yeah, and then we start to turn our attention toward the Atlanta Falcons what you've called a pivotal game.
It is. I think it is. This is a very, 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 very big football game. I mean, 5-2 versus 4-3. Right as we approach the trade deadline and you head on the road for the next two, and we still don't know who's quarterbacking?
It's the next three for me, but it all starts on Sunday. Sunday night football, spotlight on you and who's your quarterback.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a little bit more news by the time we hit our show
you'd be
tomorrow.
Wrong.
Yeah, there'll be something. Kyle will talk before we start tomorrow, so we'll have that. Look forward to that. Okay, here comes Grandy. And if you missed any of Baldy, it was really, really good. And it's coming up right around the corner. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, sure.
All right, let's do it. That's for Dibs, for Grandy, for Steven. I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. That's all you got.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.